Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is episode number 229. Today's show is part of our Fitness Friday series, and it's another great one in our Fitness Friday programs. We'll be hearing from returning guest, Sabrina Joe, who will join us in just a minute. Sabrina Joe is a favorite with our Not Old Better audience and is the American Council on Exercise Director of Science and Research Content. Sabrina Joe will be here to share important information about recent ACE research into fitness trackers, Fitbits, Apple Watches, and whether the outcome of the fitness tracker is supported by evidence-based research. But first, our Fitness Friday news.
The Not Old Better Show Fitness Friday news.
We've got some excellent Fitness Friday news from the American Heart Association. Here's the headline. The best way to get us to exercise? Pay us, according to a new study by the AHA. What's worse than losing your life? Losing a few bucks, apparently. According to research conducted by the American Heart Association, threatening coronary heart disease patients with money loss could help motivate them to exercise more, according to this new research published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Of course, we all know heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, and experts agree that regular exercise is one of the best ways to combat that risk. But even knowing that, some patients have a hard time hitting the gym. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, only 21% of adults are doing enough aerobic and muscle strengthening activities in their lives. In an attempt to get at-risk patients moving, researchers at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania and in conjunction with the American Heart Association rounded up 105 people with ischemic heart disease, a condition where coronary arteries restrict blood supply to the heart. All participants received wrist-worn fitness tracking devices, such as Fitbits or Apple Watches. A smaller group was also assigned a daily step count goal plus monetary motivation. An account with $14 deposited every week and $2 subtracted for every day they fell short of their goals. Patients in that incentive group significantly increased physical activity levels during the six-month study period. They were logging over 1,300 more steps per day than the fitness trackers only group. Plus, the payoff lasted longer than the payday. Money-motivated participants continued to outstep their fellow study participants even after the study authors stopped funding and subtracting from the accounts. Creating financial motivation for healthy behavior isn't a brand new concept, of course. Insurance companies, for example, already use financial rewards programs to encourage folks like us to move more. If financial payments are linked to exercise, patients may cheat. Tumbling step counters in the dryer, for example, could produce exaggerated daily step counts. The research team anticipated this, and as a matter of fact, one of the researchers noticed a participant had exceedingly high step counts, 25,000 to 40,000 steps a day. Thinking they'd caught a cheater, the participant was called and asked, "What's going on? What have you been up to?" The participant reported he was walking every day for 20 to 40 minutes and confessed no other activity that indicated he was trying to fool the researchers. But he also revealed that he had recently joined a band as a drummer and he would practice vigorously, triggering the motion sensor of the device, adding thousands of steps to his daily step count. Hey, you know, when I see people walking around to just kind of get their steps in, I make sure to wave to them because, you know, my Apple Watch counts that just like if I was actually doing something. No, I would never do that. Up next, our conversation with Sabrina Cho about tracking devices. Sabrina Cho, of course, is from the American Council on Exercise, where she is the Director of Science and Research Content. Sabrina Joe, always so good to talk to you. Welcome to the show once again.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so nice to catch up to you always and talk a little bit about fitness and what's important. And then, of course, research, your specific area. I've got a question for you today about some research that I found on the ACE site. There was a study done, ACE Fitness, of course. We'll post links to this particular study. But ACE reviewed what they call the Mover Must-Haves Physical Activity Tracker. I wonder if you'd give us a brief rundown, because there's a lot of great information there. But let's give a kind of a brief rundown on some of the best features to consider, you know, when safety, usability, and then I think most importantly, whether the app's functions are actually supported by evidence-based research, which is really your area. So what are the overall conclusions?
Yeah, so ACE has something that we call the Scientific Advisory Panel, mm-hmm. or the SAP for short, and it consists of experts in exercise science, sports medicine, psychology, and nutrition. And we bring the panel together to evaluate products, programs, or services in health and fitness that we think might help people become more active or stay active. And so one of the things that we've done recently is we looked at some physical activity trackers, namely the apps that you can have on your smartphone, because we wanted to know, we wanted to evaluate if there were any existing products out there that not only were safe and effective, but cost effective and actually had good usability and actually helped people become or maintain their physical activity, which is the whole idea behind all this anyway. So what we found were, we evaluated a little over 10 different apps. And by the way, we're not promoting any specific app mm-hmm. here. Yep. That's not why we did this. We're not endorsing anything. We just wanted to take a kind of an evidence-based approach to looking at what these different apps had to offer. And mm-hmm. we really came away with three apps that kind of rose to the top. And so we kind of categorized them into different price ranges, because everyone's, you know, if you can save money, then let's save money. That's right. Always a concern for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we found were the three big ones were the Fitbit, the Runkeeper, and the Endomondo apps. And so the Fitbit, you probably heard of this.
Sure.
The Fitbit is an actual a wearable device that you wear on your wrist, and it also has a phone app that helps you kind of organize and monitor your activity. And this rose to the top in kind of the deluxe or the higher price range, only because you can't really use the app unless you buy that wearable. But what we found in terms of the wearable and the app associated with it was that it had a great array of features, especially if you're technologically minded. If you're of that mind, then you might find this app useful. And it had some basic features like tracking your steps. It had vocal cues to help map out your routes or routes. It had some sleep pattern tracking and heart rate monitoring, tracking of your calories burned and weight lost and body mass index. It also allowed you to connect with community members and had a food and hydration log. And so we found that that particular app was great for all those kind of higher end features. And it was great for just really supporting a healthy lifestyle change. The next app we found was kind of in the mid-range in terms of price, and it was great for people, especially for runners and cyclists. So if you're a runner and a cyclist, you know, you're looking for a great app that might help kind of keep you in line with your goals, we found that Runkeeper might be a good option. Like I mentioned, it was great for exercisers of all levels, but especially for advanced runners and cyclists. So it allowed you to have some training plans. It allowed you to discover and save new routes, new training routes. You could create running groups and then have challenges with friends in those running groups, among many other types of features. And the base version of this app is free. But if you upgrade to the premium, which is basically $10 a month or maybe $40 a year if you buy it annually, you really get an upgrade and a lot of great features along with those that I just mentioned. But what we found kind of as what rose to the top in terms of the lowest cost and probably the most user-friendly was something called Endomondo. And this app, what's great about this app was it allowed the user to track all kinds of activities ranging from circuit training to golf to even paragliding.
Wow.
So, yeah, which is, you kind of don't think of things like that as being physical activity, but it certainly is. This app even has a variety of features, including wheelchair tracking, that helped a wide array of individuals help move toward their physical activity goals. So this app allows you to track things like time, distance, speed, calories burned, and it also helps you set goals and take on challenges with other people in your social community. So this app was great, this Endomondo app. The free version was useful for tracking and goal setting. And then for an entire year, a price of $9.99, you could upload to the premium version, which had even more features. So those three apps really were the ones that the scientific advisory panel thought really rose to the top to help people either become more active or maintain their physical activity.
That is great to know. So whether it's price or whether it's staying in touch with your social community or some specific goals that you might have that might be a little different than the kind of the run-of-the-mill goals, for example, parasailing, I think those are all great ideas. That's
yeah, and another point to add is really an app, a physical activity tracker app, is just one tool in your toolbox. Some people enjoy technology and enjoy that kind of thing, and others might not. And it's not necessary. It's just one more thing that might nudge you in the right direction.
This is just so important for our audience to know. And Sabrina Jo, thanks as always for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I can't wait to talk with you again.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it.
My thanks to our guest today. And please check out our website at notold-better.com for more information and conversation. And thanks to all of you, my wonderful audience, for your charming, encouraging, and advice-driven emails with show and topic suggestions. Please keep them coming at info@notold-better.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at notoldbetter. And you can find us on Facebook as well. We are Not Old Better there on Facebook. Podcasts of the Not Old Better Show are available on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also on Amazon's Alexa. How are you today, Alexa?
I'm doing great.
Alexa, play the Not Old Better podcast.
Getting the latest episode of the Not Old Better Show. Here it is from TuneIn.
You can always find us online at notold-better.com, where you can find all of our archives. You can share a link, you can get in touch, and I look forward to hearing from you. I'm Paul Vogelzang, and please, everyone, let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.